It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, everybody. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is indeed on the air. Now, today we start a brand new series. This is something I'm very passionate about. It's all based on my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, The End Time Occult Invasion. I will never forget an instance at a conference I was speaking at down in Houston, Texas, and a fellow came up to our display booth after I spoke and saw my book and saw the subtitle of the book, and he kind of backs up and he says, "Ooh, the occult, that scares me." And I said to him, I said, well, sir, are you a Christian? He said, yes, he was. And I said, well, why would the occult frighten you? I said, we're the people who are supposed to know that it's nothing but a counterfeit, the antithesis of the truth of the Bible. And we're the ones that are supposed to be able to explain to the world why the occult is evil. We've got to understand these things. And I don't think we need to go out and read occult books necessarily. But I do believe we need to get our information from Christian sources to understand the world of the occult. And that's what my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, is all about. And that book is a part of a special package of materials. And it is really a terrific special that we're going to be offering this week. And as long as this series goes on, I'm not sure if it's going to be a week or two or three. We'll see as we go along here. But I'm going to play excerpts from one of my DVDs, The End Time Occult Invasion. There are two other DVDs in this package. One of them is called The Hidden World of the Occult, and the third one is called Bible Prophecy and the Occult, and how we believe that the rise of the occult in the day we live in is very prophetic. It's a prophetic thing. It's a very interesting day that we see that we live in today, when the occult has become normal in our culture, and we've never seen anything like that take place. You go back and look through history, and you'll see that civilized man has never accepted the world of the occult as normal. But if you don't think that's happened, just take a look at what we entertain ourselves with. And I think there's a disconnect in the minds of Christians about this. We seem to think that, sure, the Bible speaks against these things, and the Bible clearly speaks against evil and so on. And, the idea of trying to contact the spirits of the dead and that kind of thing. But, if we watch it on television or read about it in some novel, or if we go to a movie that's laced with this stuff, we seem to think that we as Christians, because we know that it's just make-believe, or we know that it's just fantasy, that somehow it'll be all right. Now, take a look around and see what the most popular motion pictures are. The Harry Potter movies, obviously the biggest movie set or the biggest movie of all time. Just take a look at how these movies have affected our culture, especially our youth culture. And, of course, the Twilight series, which is based on vampirism and werewolves and so on. So we see all of this around us, and yet the church needs to be the voice speaking up about these things, even though the world might roll their eyes at us, the world might call us, narrow-minded and all those kind of things. We're the people who are called to speak out on these issues, and that's what I intend to do, and I hope that you'll do that as well. Well, I'm going to play an excerpt for you from my videotape, The End Time Occult Invasion. Notice I said videotape. You can tell I'm back in the past someplace. This is our DVD, The End Time Occult Invasion. And I think there's some important setup in this particular clip I'm going to play that will help you understand and get a basis for why we're saying what we're saying. And this is important stuff. If we're going to be able to communicate to the world around us, we've got to do better than just telling them that something's of the devil. We need to explain to them why we're saying what we're saying and give them biblically based answers and reasons for the things we say. So with this clip, I think you'll understand where we're going for the next little while. I want to encourage you, by the way, to go to our website, ericbarger.com. That's ericbarger.com. And you'll find on our website This particular special package of materials, and again, it's a terrific package with my book and three DVDs and two great pamphlets that I think will help you and be a tools in your hand to be able to minister to your friends and family and your loved ones concerning the world of the occult and why we as Christians shouldn't be enamored with it, but instead should be exposing it, which is what the scripture calls us to do. So that special package of materials, only $50 plus the shipping, and we'd be glad to get that out in the mail to you immediately so that you have time to get that around to your friends and family and people at church before the Halloween season hits us. And that's coming up real soon here. And a lot of this material deals with it. In fact, there's a chapter in my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, that deals with Halloween. One of the pamphlets we'll send you deals with Halloween. And there is information in one of the DVDs dealing with Halloween. So we try to cover all the bases concerning the world of the occult in the books and in the DVDs as well. So here we go with the clip from the DVD, The End Time Occult Invasion, Harry Potter, Pokemon, and Hollywood.
You know, I guess we ought to begin by explaining why we would do a seminar about the occult anyway. I know there are a lot of people in the church that would just say, well, you know, just preach Jesus. That's the commission of the church, and just leave that other stuff alone. But I think Scripture is very clear about this. And we look at Ezekiel 44:23, which has been a keynote scripture of my seminars for a long time, and that really speaks to us. It says that the priests were to teach the people the difference between what was acceptable to God and what was detestable to God, what was right from what was wrong, what was evil from what is good. Now, you say, but that's an Old Testament passage, but you and I are New Testament believers. We just don't throw the Old Testament out. You know, too many believers only read Psalms, Proverbs, the Epistles, and the Gospels and leave all the prophetic books and Mosaic books and, of course, the book of Revelation totally alone. The Bible is the whole counsel of God for us. In Ezekiel 44:23, if we read that in the light or the context of the New Testament, we find out, as we look in Hebrews and also in Revelation, that you and I are the priests of God. And it was our mission to teach the people the difference. It is our mission to teach them the difference between what is acceptable and detestable to the Lord, what is holy from what is common, what is evil from what is good. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to define these things, and we're going to talk about some of the issues and the things that are affecting our families and especially our kids during this presentation. Now, another scripture that would lead us to understand that it is part of the mission of the church to expose darkness is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. It says, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove or expose them. And of course, the famous passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and following, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? What fellowship do believers have with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And then it says, for we are the temple, that ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk with them, be their God, they shall be my people. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And you know, there's a lot of people in the world today that just say, oh, that's just legalism. We can do these things and it won't hurt us. But you know, folks, one of the themes of the message today is the idea that if we want God's very best in our life, we're going to examine the things that affect us, examine the things we give our time and our mind and our money and our emotions to, and examine the things that we accept as normal in our culture. You know, I believe we have all been conditioned or desensitized to some effect. And about the world of the occult, the church, the Christian, you and I, can ill afford to be desensitized about this because of what God's Word says about it. Now, in defining the occult, the actual word occult means, it's a Latin word, and it means things hidden, things in darkness, things left unrevealed, the practices of divination and sorcery. And the works of the occult would include Wicca, that's the common word used today for organized witchcraft, psychics, tarot cards, fortune telling, astrology, numerology, palmistry, or the reading of palms, sorcery, spells, incantations. Of course, Satanism is included in there, and the mystic practices of the New Age movement. Now, you know, all of us are interested in what the future holds for us, but if we're Christians and we really trust in the Lord, we're going to trust it to Him. He is the only one that knows the future. The devil does not know the future. Demons do not know the future. We shouldn't marvel that Gene Dixon would get it right 50-some percent of the time. We shouldn't marvel that Edgar Cayce could make predictions. We shouldn't marvel at some of the quatrains of Nostradamus and what happened in his writings, that they would be accurate to some extent. I mean, the devil is a good guesser, and he's been around a long time, knows how to deceive people and drag them into his realm to get us beholden to his counterfeit knowledge he wants to give people. You know, the idea that that Jean Dixon got it right 50% of the time, you know, if she lived in the Old Testament and claimed to be a prophet, she'd have been stoned to death after one miss. That was the stringency that God's word held over a prophet. And so we need to see it like that and understand. You know, a good example of this is I used to be an Aries, and now I'm a Christian. I made that decision that I was going to follow God instead of follow my astrology chart. And I was a person before I became a Christian that was involved in this stuff. I was a drug addict, a cocaine addict. I was involved in the New Age movement before it was called the New Age movement, when I was a rock and roll record producer and recording engineer. And I remember throwing the Yarrow sticks of the I Ching. And I remember rolling down the scroll of the astrology chart that a bona fide black witch that I was dating had done for me. So I know what it's like to be beholden to the supernatural world for your fate and future, but I've chosen that I'm going to follow God and God alone, and that's what we're advocating that you do also. And anyone here who is even casually involved in any kind of witchcraft or sorcery or any kind of fortune telling or divination about your life or your future, you're saying, I really can't trust God. And believe me, God is watching. It's just not something He'll wink His eye at if you and I continually go to our astrology chart in the newspaper or even to a psychic, God forbid, and try to get this kind of secret hidden wisdom and revelation. You know, we see Miss Cleo, and we all know about Dionne Warwick and the Psychic Friends Network. That was one that was so popular and became really famous, and that's what really put psychics on TV a few years ago. You know, the Psychic Friends Network went bankrupt. And you know, if they really had precognizant knowledge of the future, you would have thought they would have seen that coming. But obviously they didn't. And people still continue to call up and want their tarot cards read or want to find out what their future is through astrology and so on and so on. No matter what the Word of God says. And a lot of people today just aren't willing to listen to the Word of God. How tragic that so many Christians today aren't willing to listen to what God's Word says. So I encourage you, as we look at this very important passage of Scripture coming up, that you really take this into heart, that this is God's standard about the world of the occult. And how many of you here know that this had better be our standard concerning the world of the occult? So look with me now at Deuteronomy chapter 18. You know, in our book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, my co-author Dave Benoit and myself, we wrote 10 chapters on these four verses in the book of Deuteronomy. So I think we effectively milked these for all they were worth. But we wrote a lot of current events and a lot of instances of research and so on that we've seen in our culture out of the 9 forbidden practices that we see here in Deuteronomy 18. Now, as we look at the screen, you'll see 9 forbidden practices underlined as we read through this passage. And we'll go back and talk about some of these in just a second. Let's read.
Hi, everybody. It's Eric Barger. You're listening to Take a Stand Radio, heard each week at this time. And we've been listening to The End Time Occult Invasion, Harry Potter, Pokemon, and Hollywood, one of my 3 DVD presentations we're offering this week in a very special package. Comes along with the book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, nearly 300 pages, updated information dealing with the world of the occult, and of course a couple of other great printed resources. You can have your copy of all of this by contacting us at the website, ericbarger.com, or by calling us at 214-289-5244. Now let's go back to the presentation. We're about ready to pick up at Deuteronomy chapter 18 and the 9 forbidden practices of the occult.
When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. That's forbidden practice number 1. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. And verse 12 says, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. Now you'll see those 9 forbidden practices Number one is about human sacrifice. Today, of course, we don't build an altar to the god Moloch. We don't light it on fire and place the idol of the god Moloch in the middle, which had his arms stuck out like this, an iron god. And we don't choose a baby or an infant or a child to sacrifice them, laying them heinously in the arms of this god and watching this baby be sacrificed, supposedly to give fertility to mothers' wombs, to bring rain, to make the ground fertile and productive. This is the reason, also to give victory in war. This was the reason that people worshipped Asherah poles and Moloch and Baal. These were the reasons that that this happened in Old Testament days. And we go on and we see, by the way, we don't do it, what I started to say there, we don't do that today. No, instead we do it for the god of convenience and we do it in abortion clinics. But as Dave and I point out in our book, it is the exact same spirit at work. And then we go on to talk about divination, observers of times, that's astrology. Enchanters, witches, that's pretty obvious what that is, witches, Wicca. Charmers, consulter with familiar spirits, that's people who are talking, supposedly talking to the dead. Let me tell you, if anybody from the dead should ever speak to you, you better check it out and find out if it's somebody who's deceased or find out in reality that it's actually a demonic power that is speaking to you masquerading as someone who has already departed. And of course, wizards, that's something we're going to talk about in this seminar and in the videotape we're making here today quite a bit. And necromancers, that's someone who does speak to the dead and claims to speak to those who are deceased. Now, there is one word used three times here in this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 18. You'll see once in verse 9 and twice in verse 12, the word abomination is used. Now, that's the Hebrew word toabah. Now, that's also, if you want to do a little word study, that's Strong's word for Strong's Concordance, 08441. Now, this word means a disgusting thing, an abomination, unclean, as in idolatry, of wickedness, something that is of wickedness. That's what the word abomination means, or the word toabah, that's translated abomination in the King James Version. Now, folks, understand, God could have spoken a lot of different words about the world of the occult. And there is grace for those who are lost in the world of the occult today. God wants to save people out of the world of the occult. God wishes none would perish, but all would come to repentance. That is the message that Jesus brought. There is no sin so bad that you couldn't be delivered from it and saved from it, no matter what you had ever done. But God speaks about the world of the occult in the strongest language found in the Bible. From the mouth of God, you will not find a stronger condemnatory word anywhere in the Word of God than the word toabah. It is the worst of the worst of the words he could have used in speaking about this. And I say worst, the most severe that he could have used in describing his thoughts, his will, and of course, his desire for his people to follow his word is so clear. We have got to line up our thinking about the world of the occult. We just can't say, oh, well, you know, it's just fun. It's just entertainment. My kids, you know, they'll be okay. I mean, I watched those things, Eric, when I was a child. My kids will watch them and they'll be all right. Folks, it is a different world that we're living in today than it was in the 1950s when I was growing up in West Virginia. It's a different world today than it was back then. But the Bible hasn't changed. God's word is still replete with his condemnation of the world of witchcraft. Is that because God is afraid of witchcraft? No. Is that because God thinks that if people start listening to psychics and so on, that'll be kind of honing in on his market? No. You know, when God's word says, thou shalt not, it's for our good. It's because God wants to save us from getting involved in the wrong thing that he knows will take us down the wrong path. The world of the occult itself and the nine forbidden practices we just mentioned here from Deuteronomy chapter 18 are Satan's introduction into our life. It is a way that the devil can move himself into our life, and it's also the devil knows how God works. The devil knows how God's plan for humanity works. If we get involved in these things, God cannot bless our lives, whatever fashion, whatever facets of our life it might be. He cannot bless our lives like he would if we lined ourselves up with his word. Let's not forget that in Revelation 21, those who are involved in sorcery are also condemned to the lake of fire. It says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. That's what I want for myself. How about you? But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, and it says, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone, which is the second death. So that's what happens to those who are involved in witchcraft if they don't repent. You know, we were at a county fair years ago, and we had some friends of ours with us, and we were all just walking through the midway, kind of looking at things, and we noticed that there was a fortune teller over here, and we had a gal with us who was one of my wife's best friends, and she had been delivered from Buddhism, really had a miraculous deliverance, and she walked a few feet beyond that fortune teller and turned around and kind of walked back toward the fortune teller, and we all just observed as she walked back, and she said, "Excuse me, can we tell your fortune?" And the fortune teller was just taken back, didn't know what to say. And our friend Rhonda said, your fortune is you're going to die and go to hell unless you get delivered of this occultism. And I don't think that's necessarily the way you want to witness to somebody who's lost in the occult. But it was something that she did. And of course, she had the kind of boldness that many of us desire and long for. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. This is an important passage. This is God's word about being endeared to those who are practicing or the practices of the world of witchcraft and the occult. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commands, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. Now, folks, as we said a minute ago, we don't put witches or warlocks to death today. We don't put occultists to death today. Of course, it is the opposite. We lift them up to celebrity status. And that isn't the point. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's the real point here. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The New Testament says it's against powers and principalities and the rulers of darkness. And we're praying for people involved in witchcraft to get set free. But we are to put the ideas of witchcraft and sorcery and the occult to death. There's no doubt about that. And I think it's important as we look at Deuteronomy chapter 13, we look at the summary of this. Verse 3 should really stick out at us. I mean, one version of the Bible tells us that God is testing us. In verse 3 it says, he is testing us of whether we'll be true to him, whether we'll love him with all of our heart, whether we'll have our allegiance aimed at him and truly with our whole hearts want to serve him. That our standard about false cultic teaching, the occult, the witchcraft around us, all those things, our feelings about it, our view of those things will be a test of our allegiance to God. Look at this. When facing decisions concerning how we should react to the occult and New Age in our culture, our actions will be a test of our allegiance to God. Verse 3. And verse 5 says, we are never to agree with or have any acceptance of the occult. It is equal to the returning to Egypt. It is going back into bondage. We are to put evil out of our midst, and we are to cling to God.
Folks, this is why I'm so passionate, because this whole issue is about our allegiances. Will we give Satan control or even a place to work in our time, our mind, our money, and our emotions? Will we be entertained by the occult? Will we allow these things to influence our friends, our family, and our churches? You know, that's why we wrote the book Entertaining Spirits Unaware, The End Time Occult Invasion. And it's why I produced the 3 DVDs that we're offering this week, and I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. It's a great offer for $50, and we're going to add a couple of other resources, printed resources, that we'll send to you as well. This is a way for you to support our ministry, and we certainly appreciate your help. I want to remind you, this is Eric Barger. This is Take a Stand Radio. I'll be back again next week. This program is sponsored by the generous gifts of our friends and our supporters, and is brought to you each week by Take a Stand Ministries in Rowlett, Texas. God bless you. Have a great week. And remember to take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ.
With nearly 3 decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clements reminding you to join us right here again next week, encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
Hi, everybody. Eric Barger here. I surely appreciate your support of Take a Stand Radio. To know that so many of our friends here on the CSN Network are standing with us is a great encouragement. You know, presenting our live seminars across the U.S. and Canada some 200 days each year can be draining, but it is terrific to see how folks just like you join together to meet the financial needs of Take a Stand. As we begin our 29th year of full-time ministry, our goal remains the same as it was in the very beginning: to see the lost saved and the church changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your prayers and support make that a reality. Don't forget to order our special occult awareness package. It'll be a great resource for you and your family and church. It's only $50 plus shipping. It's a great way to support our ministry as well. Visit ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. I'll talk to you again next week. God bless you.